everything that has been done, everything that's said here. You've been awesome in the midst of our sanctuary today already. We just anticipate you doing something great in the next few minutes. Be honored and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, everybody said a good amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. I want to talk to you about this subject about friendly fire today. Friendly fire is a term that has been used, and we've learned about it over the last, actually, you've heard more about it maybe in the last decade than ever. It's probably because it's been able to be pinpointed more than ever. It's when military force launches some type of an attack on the enemy, and it ends up creating hurt on their own people. The forces, they target a hostile, but due to inaccuracy or something, these attacks cause injury and death to our own people. And if you've lived long enough, you've not only heard this expression, but maybe you have experienced it in some way in a relationship or even in a family setting. Our social environment lends itself to many distractions that can be a contributing factor in this whole experience. But the Bible is so clear on these matters, and it gives us and it helps us to understand how we can maneuver through it. Marriages and families are going through hardship, disintegrating before our eyes, and families and marriages and relationships are losing their focus because of domestic violence, abuse, negative words that come out of people's mouth, and it's an epidemic that has to be stopped. And to bring healing and hope and just some sanity to these statistics, we can't just seek out quick fixes and these one-moment experience to salve our needs and give us a feel-good moment and think that we completely get delivered out of what this situation has caused or created. Now, saying that, I do believe that God can heal and restore in a situation in a moment. But far too many times, people that have been moving in a negative direction for a long time think that one short little instance is going to make everything right. And when it doesn't, it just creates more hurt and more conflict. I want to read this verse of scripture in Ephesians 6:12. And I'm reading it out of the Living Bible. And this is what it says. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. And I want you to know this today, that your enemy is not somebody else in flesh and blood. Listen to how he breaks it down, and I like this translation because of it. The King James says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Living Bible breaks it down again a little more. He says, we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies. Evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings, and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the wicked world. That's who our battle is against. Not our brothers or our sisters. Not our family members. Not against the ones who make a mistake. Not even once or several times. Friendly fire comes when we begin to come at our enemy through the people that Jesus died and gave his life for. You might not like the way somebody lives or acts, but it gives no one the excuse or the ability to tear somebody else down or to treat them in a negative or a hurtful manner. Come on, you can say amen anytime. And by the way, if you're here today, and some of the things that I speak of, that you feel like you are the victim in this situation, in no way am I trying to minimize what has happened to you and try to dilute the fact that you have been hurt by someone or somebody has said something against you that has brought you to that place. But sooner or later, you and I have to step out of that place of being the victim and allow God to restore us, to bring hope to us, to bring healing into our lives. And we go through stages of conflict that create friendly fire. James 4:1 says, what causes the fights and the quarrels among you? Look at this scripture. Don't they come from your desires that battle inside of you? And so James is saying many of the things that we're struggling with are a direct result of things that are inside of me. Selfish desires, things that I want that I don't get when I want them. And when I don't get them, I'm going to be upset and mad and I'm going to create this war. And when I create it, friendly fire takes place and I end up hurting the very people that I love the most. In fact, psychologists have broken it down into processes or stages of what creates conflict or friendly fire in people. One, it's false statements. People that you make up things about other people. I did a funeral yesterday for a young man, a 45-year-old man. I don't believe I'd ever met him before. He was related to another friend, and I went there. And when one of the family members got up and said one thing about this young man, they said that he could be remembered for never saying a bad word or a negative thing about anyone. And boy, that stuck with me. And I want to just ask you today, could that be said of you and I at our funeral? Do you participate in that, or is it the other way? You see, I'm convinced in life that some people, they feel like their mission in life is to see through people. But Jesus calls us to see people through. He calls us to love people. He said in John chapter 13, he says, a new commandment I give unto you. And it's not new, but he's really saying, I'm reminding you of it, is to love one another even as God has loved you. And we are called to love. But false statements are the beginning of this negativity, of this friendly fire. The next stage is belittling or name calling. This is so destructive. Using words to tear people down, to lower people, to use them as weapons against one another. And Aaron found this little picture, and I just kind of think it fits beautiful. Stop shooting at me. We're on the same team. Even when we're going through a conflict, you have to learn to put a watch over your lips. Come on, am I talking to anybody here right now? Number three stage is it goes into an escalation. Because now the little thing that happened is out of control. It's growing out of control. In fact, now it's taking on a life of its own. What happened as maybe something small is now mushrooming into something that's much bigger and much larger and much more destructive and what we never planned on really happening. What we started with someone or some situation as a concern, now it's out of control. And it's not just hurting the one, it's hurting everybody. It's not only hurting the individual, it's hurting the family, it's hurting the church family, it's hurting the circle of people that you live with and that you surround yourself with. And that leads to the obvious is withdrawal. Leave me alone. I'm done talking. I'm through with this one. I'm through with that one. And I don't know if that ever is anything that you go through, but you know, as I was writing these things out and praying and contemplating about this, I learned I have this tendency that if somebody attacks me, I have the propensity of wanting to step away from it. Yeah, I mean, I'm just not good at walking into where I know there's going to be pain involved. I like my dentist. I don't like what he does. I like the doctors. I mean, I've had all kinds of, I'm 58. You can't imagine the exams that I've had. Praise the Lord. And I mean, this one doctor I had to go to, he said, do you want to ask me anything? I said, yeah. I said, how did you grow up in Haiti and learn to do the things that you do now to people? I said, I like you as a person. I don't like what you do. And when I go to his office, I'm standing outside the door rocking like this. Do I want to go in? Because my tendency is to withdraw from hurtful situations. My tendency, even with the ones that I love the most, is when I hurt the most, my tendency is to take a step back. And this can be very hurtful in homes, in families, in relationships, when words are spoken, when things are done, when actions are have arisen, and it creates this conflict, that now we not only are dealing with the conflict, now we're not even going to involve ourselves in it because we feel like the source of the solution is just stepping back and alienating yourself from the relationship altogether. And how many of you know that nothing could be further from the truth? Listen, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:5, he says, may the God who gives endurance. And I'm going to tell you something. When you've been hurt, when something has assaulted you, you need endurance. He said, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. And we need this. We not only need it in our families, in our homes, we need it in the body of Christ. Because too many times people are pointing fingers at others who have gone through something, who have fallen, who have failed. I don't know, and I'm going to just talk about that in a moment, just for a moment about that. But we can't be the ones who are pointing our fingers and are talking negatively about others. We need to be the ones who ask God for endurance and encouragement and ask Him to give us a spirit of unity. Because there is an anointing and there is an answer that is available in following God's example. I want you to consider these things when you're dealing with friendly fire. Number one, you have to be aware of God's view of others. You have to sometimes trade places with them. Instead of you thinking you know all of what they're going through and you criticizing or maybe judging them for who they are or what they're doing, maybe you need to step into their shoes for just a moment and find out why they are acting out the way they are acting. Oh, I'm telling you, the longer that you live, you learn that people just don't wake up some morning and say, I'm just going to do something stupid today. Something has created that in their lives. Something has hurt them in their lives. I'm on a few different committees in the city and with the criminal justice system. And I was asked to be upon this group of people trying to find out why the percentage of female offenders is increasing at an astronomical rate in our county alone. Do you know that our county spends over $500,000 just in housing temporary female offenders in the county, in transportation? Because if they do an offense, they can't stay in our jail, on and on and on. But so I'm in this group, and I'm looking at this from a whole nother level. And I'm saying, you know, what we have to do is change our environment. Because I'm dealing now with children who are the grandchildren of people that I helped 20, 25, 30 years ago. And you know what's not changed? There was never anything dealt with in the grandparents' life, and it created the atmosphere in the parents' life, which created the same atmosphere in the grandchildren's life. And at some point, it has to be stopped. And instead of pointing our fingers and why are they doing this and throwing them in jail or criticizing, or worse yet, for people who are called by the name of Jesus Christ to put them down, we need to be the answers and say, there is an answer for you. I love you, and I'm called by God to love you and to help lift you out of the very thing that's hurting your life. Amen. You ought to clap for that right there. But when people talk negatively about the ones that He loves, guess what? God doesn't like it. I'm sorry. He doesn't like it. When somebody doesn't do what you think they are, and people, they say this, and please, if you say this, stop it. God's going to get them. You wait. You're going to answer to God for that. You're going to stand before God. You're right. We will stand before God and we will give an account, but not because you and I say so. And the blood of Jesus will cover someone a whole lot more than what you and I could ever imagine. And aren't you glad for that today? As the song that we sang earlier, pardon for sin. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus that pardons our failures, our mistakes? Come on, is there anybody in here that's thankful for that today? Let's get out of the judging business and get into the loving business. You are not called to be humanity's judge. You are called to be the arm stretched out from heaven, God's love, God's redeeming force, and to put your arm around somebody and say, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Beware of God's view of others. And secondly, be aware of the power of your words. Now, this is so incredible. This is so incredible. Your words have gargantuan power in them. And this goes for men and women. Wives, let me say something to the wives. You hold your husband's ego in the palm of your hand. You can say a word and you can destroy him in a moment. Men, you can say something. You think your wife will forget it like the guys at work will? Not a chance. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life in them, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your mouth is either giving out things that are building, or if your mouth is giving out things that are dismantling, it's only hurting you in the long run. Listen to this in Ephesians 4:29, in New King James Version, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification and may impart grace to the hearers. We are called to love, to speak life, to speak truth, to impart hope to one another. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a relationship with someone and they're out of line or something's wrong in their life, that God would have you come alongside as a father would to a child and say, hey, look, I want to help you with this. You're heading down a road that's going to hurt you. This is going to be harmful in the long run to you. But you can't, without a relationship, just step into somebody's life and begin to tell them everything that's wrong with them. It's not going to work. And you have to be careful with the power of your words. Oh, you might want to get some things off your chest. But if you blurt out something in the heat of the moment, you risk damaging a relationship permanently. Hear me now. This is powerful stuff right here. Many relationships are destroyed when during an uncensored venting, words came out that can never be returned or taken back again. Do you know that the words that you speak never stop going? I heard this 30 years ago. When you speak a word, it never can be stopped. It's moving all the time. You think about that. If you have any age on you at all, you can remember things that were spoken over your life, whether they be positive or whether they be negative. My mother was out of my life at 17. I loved my mom. She was so sweet. But I can remember a couple times words that she said to me. I can remember them like they were yesterday. Hurt me. There's some husbands. There's some wives in here today. Your spouses have spoken negative, evil, out of a moment of uncensored venting that has assaulted who you are. And I'm not giving that person a free ticket out of it. We have to get control over that in our lives. But I'm saying, number one, God can forgive that person and he can heal your heart as well. But before you say something that you may regret, bite your tongue and give yourself a moment to consider how you really feel. Because the things you say while you're letting loose often don't represent how you really feel, and they shouldn't be communicated. Amen. 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 Especially if they are destructive words. Negative speech becomes a habit for some. In fact, some, they wear it as a badge and it describes who they are. You know, I said this in the first service. You're early in my ministry. I'd have people, they'd come in, they'd want to see me, and they'd make notes above all the things that they thought I should change in my life. And when I was younger, I'd sit there and I'd take it. And I'd come home and I'd feel like I'd been beat up. They'd tell me, this is wrong, you're doing this, you look that way, you're what you said, and on and on and on. Until one day, I got a life. And I remember one day, I don't know what happened to me. Something turned in me. And I won't let that be a part of my life any longer. No, if I have a relationship, let me tell you something, my wife, my kids, my pastor, my peer relationships, open door, speak to me, because no one should put themselves in a place where they can't receive instruction. But I'm just talking about Joe Schmo that thinks he is called to walk around in life and tell everybody what's wrong with them. Me and that guy don't get along good. I'm going to go on to verse number three because I'm going to get a little fired up here. Number three, in that, be aware of what you did. Isn't it true that you and I have had some sort of role in the situation that we're confronted with right now? Even if you had nothing to do with it, even if you've had nothing to do with it, God may want to show you something in it. And we have to start by how we treat ourselves. And it means sometimes altering the environment in which our relationships exist and change the priorities that dictate what you spend your time and your energy on. Have to change that. We must redesign the backdrop or the context in which your relationships occur. And some may need a makeover in that area. You've been hanging around with laying down with the same dogs. You've been getting up with the same fleas. And it's time for a change into that. Because if you don't change that in your life, nothing changes in you. Hello? And that means that you have to make sometimes some very strong decisions in your life. Because God has called you and I to live with some dignity and respect and emotional integrity for yourself before you can have any quality interaction with anyone else. You can't have quality interaction with others until you have it with you. Matthew 22:39, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he said, the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love you. It's because you take care of you. Because you and I cannot give in a relationship what we do not possess in ourselves. Now that's profound. We have to be willing to admit that in a relationship, that if we're struggling, we can hit a reset button like you do on a computer. You hit a reset button, and it's not easy, but you have to do it to begin again. And some may say, that's easier said than done. And you know what? That's the truth. But still, you have to begin somewhere, and you may need help in the process. And some of you, you can't do it in your own strength, and you can't do it alone. You got to have some other people to help you. If it's just you coming forward at the end of a service and asking someone for prayer to stand with you and to believe with you, that's where it begins. And we must believe that God can rescue us from the situation of friendly fire in our relationship, in our marriage, with our children, with our family, with our friendships. No matter how many times you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, you have to give yourself and you have to give others another chance. Did you hear me? Do not leave here today and say that was nice, but it doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does apply to you. If there's someone in your life that you've just put up the wall with and you say, no longer, ask the Lord to help you in that because he wants to help you. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 7. I love this verse of scripture. Aaron, someday I want to do some kind of a illustrated sermon. I want you to figure out something how to get some big... She'll do this. Ben will hear me. He'll do it. Get this plaster Paris beam coming out of somebody's head. Look at this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? I've always loved that. I just love that. The Bible is so cool. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your eye? Can you imagine? You got this big plank. Let me get that. I can't get around it because I got this big beam and I'm trying to do this. Boom, I'm hitting you back and forth. It's funny to me. Four, two more points and I'm closing. That's what the bull said. Two more points and I'm through that fence. Be aware of what you should do. Watch what you're thinking. It's not that we have suffered from a lack of information, but we have suffered a poisoning of our thinking and wrong information. This is so big. Myths about who you are not. words that others have spoken to you or about you that are not who you are. Listen, you may be one thing. I've told this story 100 times. It bears telling again. I begin to date my girlfriend, who's now my wife. She takes me to one of her relatives. I'll never forget her, Aunt Ruth. If I told your last name, some of you are in here, oh, yeah, I knew her. Big old Aunt Ruth. What's your name? Marty. What's your last name? McDonald. Oh, I know who you are. I knew your dad. He was an alcoholic. His dad was an alcoholic, and you're an alcoholic. I was just a kid. I just got saved. I got delivered from that. I wasn't an alcoholic anymore. And she's telling me that. I left there that day thinking, maybe I am. Maybe that's what I am. Maybe I'll never be anything different. And it was a poisoning of my information. Until one day, somebody says, that's not who you are. What the Bible says that you are, that you've been made in the image and in the likeness of God. James 3:9. 1 Corinthians 11:17 says that man is made in God's image and reflects God's glory. Whoa, wait a minute. This isn't who she said I was. I also begin to read scriptures that said I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I read that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I read that I'm God's, one of God's children. I see in the New Testament, he calls me a saint. In Genesis 9:6, it says that God made human beings in his own image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. When I'm born again, when you and I are born again, we are not what we used to be. Come on, somebody needs to hear this today. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, what you've been up to. Maybe the world says you're one thing, but God doesn't look at you like that anymore. That's why I have a little struggle with sometimes meetings that people go to and they say, tell everybody what you are. And I'm not that anymore. I was that, but now I'm this. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things, they're passed away. Come on and behold, all things are brand spanking new. And the Word and the Holy Spirit of God is ever changing us. And the Bible says in Romans 8:5, those who are dominated by sinful nature, they think about this. I'm about ready to speak in another language here. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about these things because people tell them and they invite that into their lives. Listen, if you're here today and you have been dominated by some kind of an addiction, and you give your life to Jesus and you lean into that life, that addiction will go and it will be farther from you than you ever thought possible. If you've come into this house today and you have a propensity to use your mouth as a weapon, is issuing out just bullets and hurting others, if you rededicate or give your life to Christ and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, that old life of yours will move far from you. If you're here today and you're just... your nature, you're mean. I meet some mean people sometime. How many of you, you know anybody that's mean like that? You know who I'm talking about. I don't know who I'm talking about, but they're mean. But if you're a mean, ornery old buzzard, you give and rededicate your life back to Christ and say, God, I want to be a lover. I don't want to be a hater. And all of a sudden, you'll see that old nature of yours move past. Let me tell you something. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. You can say what you want about what I was. I'll agree with you. I was that at one time, but I'm not that anymore. I've been made in the image of God. My life is changing day by day. I'm not who I was. I'm not what I'm going to be. And I'm not yet what I'm going to be yet. Well, I'm going to get happy up in here right now. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and be humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing. Because you are called not only to be a blesser, but when you bless, when you give, when you sow a blessing, hey, you inherit another blessing right back to you. Number 5, last. Debbie, slip over to the keyboard if you will. I'm closing. Be aware of what God will do. You have to trust him. You have to trust him with your life. You have to open up your life and say, God, I know you can do this. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able, what? To do exceedingly and abundantly. Man, if you were here Thursday night, you want to talk about exceeding and abundantly? How God saved the guy that was getting ready to commit suicide in jail? And how he sends the right man at the right time, and he gives his life to Christ, and how his family was gone, his life was wiped out. But we serve a God that will meet you at the point of your need, in your darkest moment, in your most desperate situation. Here comes Jesus running to you, and he's here to help you. He'll do exceeding and abundantly. 1 Peter 5, good. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. For some of you right now, today, it's your due time. This is your moment today. I don't know who I'm talking to in this hour. And I don't care if I'm just talking to one person, but I sense in my heart and my spirit today, there's more than one here, that God wants to help you through some things. You've been a recipient of the friendly fire, and for some of you, you've been the ones that have given the fire. In either case, God wants to bring you back. He wants you to have that relationship with him, that you're in love with him, and you can forgive others of what they've done, and you can also live a forgiven life so that you don't have to assault anyone to make you feel any better for what you're going through. I want you just to close your eyes and bow your head here with me just a moment. I'm going to be done in about 90 seconds. Praise his name. Benjamin, if you could come up and close in prayer again. Honey, I want to go with you to the back again today. But I want the folks that can pray this morning, I want you just to come down here if you would. And before anyone leaves today, why leave? Why leave the way you came in? Great is thy faithfulness, O God. O God, my Father. He loves you today so much. Dad, sir, mom, ma'am, young lady, young man, whoever I'm talking to today, grandma, grandpa, whatever it is, if you're carrying stuff, you're hurt by something that somebody did or said, maybe you're even disappointed in God himself today. Maybe you don't understand everything about him. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. You need to do that today before you go. You come down, any one of these people will pray for you. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just for 1 minute. If you've never given your life to Christ, you can do that. Just come down and tell somebody, I need this Jesus in my life. They'll pray for you, give you a Bible. You start a brand new life. Hallelujah. Benjamin, come and pray. As Ben's praying, as he closes, don't leave this place today before you make him number one in your life.
Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for the word that you've brought forth today. But Lord, we thank you more so that we're going to live it in our lives. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here, that you'll bless them and keep them safe as they face their week and face their days. Lord, I pray once again, blessing over this whole house. In your name we all said, amen. Again, if you need prayer, we want to pray with you before you leave. Please come forward and one of these folks would be happy to pray with you. God bless you and have a really wonderful week.